Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
We're going to start it with our good friend Brian Scalabrine. He is on the line now, the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, radio.com Sports Insider, and Sirius XM NBA host, and he joins us now. Good to have you back on with us, Brian. We enjoyed the conversation last time. I'll just start with the generic. Can you talk us into the fact that Portland will still win the series against Golden State?
You guys have to tell me. Does Damian Lillard look a little banged up? Like when he grabbed that hamstring, I think he is so explosive going to the basket. It seems like he can get any shot he wants. He doesn't look like the same player we saw against Oklahoma City. So why don't you guys tell me, if you guys are seeing him every single day, doesn't he look hampered to you?
He does look tired. I will say on the hamstring thing, he said after the game that he took a knee in the hamstring, so he didn't pull or he didn't think it was anything long-term. But I think on that note, too, and this just goes to show you how dumb Oklahoma City was, they didn't double him and trap him the way Denver and Golden State are.
Sure. Yeah, they always have a guy right everywhere he goes. So I just think he to beat Golden State, and now this is – we got without Kevin Durant and with Kevin Durant. With Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum got to be otherworldly. But without them, they got to be better than Steph and Klay. So everywhere Steph and Klay goes, they got two guys on them, and they're still moving the ball, and they're playing so differently. But whatever it is for, I think, Portland, which, you know, I think CJ McCollum was great in that Denver series, but they have to play better. They have to take it as a personal challenge that they have the better backcourt. I know that Steph and Klay are the more touted. At any given moment, you know, like historically speaking, they'll probably go down as better players. But in this series right now, if they're going to win, they got to outplay Steph and Klay.
Yeah. Brian Scalabrine, our guest, radio.com insider, Sirius XM NBA host as well. You know, could you walk us through this? The first moment you saw Golden State and they changed into this in that first, I think it was 2015 season, your first thoughts of the way they played versus how you have evolved your opinion with them this last 5 years?
That's a great question. You know, I was a coach on that staff, and the reason I have like a cushy job set up for the rest of my life here in Boston doing the TV thing where I'm probably not going to ever need to get a different gig. But I watched Golden State against San Antonio in Denver the year before. So Mark Jackson was there, and I saw this look on Popovich's face. It was the look of, everything I know about basketball, I have to throw out the window. These guys are beating me, and I'm playing perfect defense. At that point, I thought, you know, I'm going to chase the championship. I've been kind of surfing the championship wave of the Celtics now for 10 years. I thought, man, I should do this as a coach. It'll be great. I took a job there, and we didn't really morph into how the league is changing. We played a lot of ISO. We were kind of throwback. And once I started seeing Steve Kerr and then the offense that they were running, a little bit of triangle, playing through Draymond Green. I don't know if that was his plan going in, but the whole David Lee gets hurt. I knew what Draymond was capable of. I knew his basketball IQ. And then about a month in, I'm like, the Warriors are going to win a championship because the rest of the NBA, it's just not going to be able to catch up with what they're doing and the shooting that they have and the rim protection in Bogut. So I would say about a month into seeing Kerr, I finally came around to saying, like, I thought they were a championship-level team during that when they played in San Antonio and they lost, but about a month into that season, I'm like, these guys are well ahead of the NBA.
Now, forgive me because you're on with two morons right now, so we're going to ask a dumb question from time to time, and this might be one of them, but as great as those two players are, and Klay and Steph, and obviously KD is out and hasn't been on this entire run, and Draymond's really good in his own regard as well. But as great as they are, is it surprising to you that so many teams still struggle defensively against them, given the league has kind of shifted towards their style of play?
So the gap is closed. You know, when Joe Lacob came out and said that the Warriors are light years ahead of everybody else, he wasn't lying. But, you know, when people play catch-up in the NBA and the people adapt, they travel at light speed. So I think the rest of the league has adapted to how to beat the Warriors. I mean, these teams draft guys. Like, their draft is so different. You know, that 6'7" guy used to be called a tweener. Now he's versatile. So, Like, the league has all changed their style of play. Why is it so hard? I'll tell you right now. Like, it's, if I was on the weak side and I was guarding, you know, let's just say Iguodala, and Kevin Durant had the ball, as hard as it is to stop Kevin Durant, my responsibilities are very limited. You know, I got to watch out if he turns the corner. But if he pulls up, I just got to make sure I put a body on him. The way that they play right now, with the ball moving, I gotta sprint out and trap. Then I got to fire back. Then when the shot goes up, I got to find a body because they all crash the boards, and you got to put two, and they're constantly in rotation. So I get it. Like, it's better when you have KD. But defensively, the challenge could be more because of how much you have to rotate. And those guys, the shots that they make, you can, if you really mathematically looked and said, like, how wide open is Clay versus how wide open is C.J. McCollum, they're probably very similar. But Clay's making shots from three, and C.J.'s making shots from two, and eventually they add up. And the same thing with Steph. You make a mistake on the offensive end or in transition, all of a sudden you're taught to sprint back to the paint. Steph pulls up for three. Boom, he hits three. So, like, those kind of things, and being on point and understanding the rotation, that just compromises your defense when those guys are making shots and when these guys are moving the ball.
Yeah, that just highlights how tough they are to stop. And I think that was the big issue for everybody, and we're just talking about it today, is Portland fans were very angry with the defensive game plan, especially against Steph Curry, because there wasn't a big guy in his face when he was coming off the screens, and you were giving the best shooter of all time just wide open look after wide open look.
We should touch on that, because it's funny. I think that Mark Jackson and Stan Van Gundy got it wrong. Like, what they want to do, and this is, I think I'm right on this, but I could be wrong. But what they want to do is they want to keep those guys on the sideline. They don't want them getting over the top. So obviously your big has to be shifted. So if Steph Curry comes off and he's on the sideline and you're in line, now the guy could pursue the ball and it works out. But if you're expecting Steph and Clay to stay pinned on the sideline, you know, you hear the terms ice or blew it. And so once they get over the top, I know that Mark and Stan Van Gundy were saying the big has to be up the floor. Well, the guard can't let the guy get over the top. The initial mistake is letting Steph and Clay get over the top. I don't know if that's Zach Collins' fault when he's down the floor and a guy all of a sudden goes over the top. If he comes up, then you're open to all kinds of layups. So I know Terry Stotts got mad about that question that was asked to him because the guy didn't get it right. But I think it goes back to Mark and Jeff not talking about the guards letting Curry get over the top. When they want to pin him on the sideline, if they're too good, you can't make that mistake, and it's not necessarily the big's fault.
Yeah. Brian Scalabrine, our guest here, dropping some knowledge about why Golden State is what they are right now as they beat Portland yesterday by 22 in Game 1 of the West Finals. He's the Radio.com insider, also SiriusXM NBA host here joining us at Scalabrine. All right, very quickly, I have an Eastern Conference question I want to get to and a nickname question with you, but I do have to ask one more about Portland. If they are able to clean it up a little more defensively, do you think they can make the corrections needed offensively to send this series tied back 1-1, or with what you saw last night, and who's available for both team, do you just feel like they're just too outmanned to be able to win this thing?
No, I think they can win game two. But obviously, you can't get doubled up by the Golden State backcourt. They have what it takes. Yeah. Terry Stotts will make the right adjustments. I think everyone tends to overreact to game one. Remember, they're coming off an emotional win in game seven. Like, they were not set up to win that. Now, listen, this series, just imagine if Golden State would have lost six and played this, like, unbelievable game seven, and they would have got through it. The letdown after winning a game seven, that's what we saw from Portland, and we saw a well-rested Golden State team. So Portland has – everything balances out after game one. Those guys have a lot of miles. They've been through a lot. So I think Portland does have what it takes. The way I look at this series is no Kevin Durant. And if he plays game six and seven, let's just use that. I expect Portland to be up in this series. If Kevin Durant were to play, as difficult as I just mentioned how hard the Warriors are without Kevin Durant, he is still Kevin Durant, the best player in the playoffs. You know, I don't think that they can beat them without Nurkic. Like, Nurkic to me is a stud. I don't think he gets talked about. Probably one of the more underrated players in the league. Cantor to me is one of the more overrated players in the league. I mean, you know, we hear about this guy and Turkish government and all this stuff. Everyone talks about Cantor, but his defense to me against this team, like, I personally would rather go with Zach Collins because I think he's a better defensive player. But, you know, that's neither here or there. They're missing Nurk, no Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant comes back, I cannot see Portland beating him. But if not, this series, it can really take a big shift. And game two is something to watch out for if you're a Portland fan.
Brian Scalabrine breathing life and hope back into the Blazer fan base, man. I love it. Well, last night was kind of a double whammy for me because not only did the Blazers lose and look that way, but like Zion Williamson to me was can't miss TV at Duke. Like every time he was on, you couldn't take your eyes off of him. And then we're watching the lottery and then we find out he's going to New Orleans. What do you make? I mean, likely going to New Orleans, I should say. What do you make of that fit and Zion potentially being a Pelican?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is what we hear is he's upset about being a Pelican. Like, that's what we hear. We don't know if that's true or not. But the odds of him going to New Orleans were pretty strong. Like, if the Knicks got the number one pick, there was talk of him getting traded. If the Lakers got the number one pick, there's talk of him being traded for Anthony Davis. So it was almost like he was going to end up there anyway. I was really happy for New Orleans for everything they put up with. And I think David Griffin is going to put together. Like, this is, it fast forwards now their ability to rebuild their team. They'll trade Anthony Davis for a bunch of guys and they'll get, they'll be good and they'll be young. And they'll, you know, for those teams, it's not like, I think for New Orleans, it's really important to get guys on rookie scales because after their contract is up, typically, they're restricted free agents, so you can match them or you can extend them. So you get guys there for 8 years, and if they build something special, it could really work out for them. So I was happy for them. But you know what it did seem like? And I don't know how in-depth you guys are. You know, the Celtics, the Lakers, the Knicks, all these guys are in play for Anthony Davis. The Celtics own the Grizzlies pick moving forward. They were in the top four. The Lakers are in the Anthony Davis saga. They're in the top four. The Knicks are also connected to Anthony Davis. They're in, and clearly New Orleans is connected to Anthony Davis. It was like the Anthony Davis lottery sweepstakes when it went to commercial. Like, I mean, if all Anthony Davis did not play this year, and you guys saw him firsthand how talented he is last year, but it was all about, like, AD going to break and who's going to get AD and who's going to get Zion and where's AD going to end up. So very, very interesting that New Orleans got him. Will be a very interesting offseason. I wonder what the price tag is going to be for Anthony Davis now that David Griffin doesn't have to rush to any judgment and harsh decisions.
All right, we'll get you out of here with a two-parter then, Brian. One, your prediction for the Eastern Conference Finals, which starts tonight, Milwaukee hosting Toronto. And the nickname the White Mamba was given to you, but I'm curious if you like it, if it's played out to you, and if you had a different nickname ever.
Yeah, I had veal scallopini, the vanilla Godzilla, the ginger ninja. But glad I can, entertain you guys. But,
the vanilla Godzilla?
That is so good.
Vanilla, it is good. It's hard to stick, though. White Mamba, it works. But, I like those other ones. I respond to all of them.
Yeah.
The ginger ninja? Come on, man. That's pretty good. What's your other question? The East?
Hold on. Before we get to the other question, did you get the vanilla Godzilla did a 10-year-old in a pickup game give you that because you were just dunking on children? Where did that come from?
Well, I can also dunk on a grown men, too.
That's true. I know. I didn't want to shortchange you here.
Yeah. It was, in Boston, I don't know how it is in other places, but they make shirts, and a lot of these guys make shirts like Scary Terry.
Scary Terry. Yeah.
Right? And sometimes they stick. So along the way, they tried the vanilla Godzilla, it kind of lasted. But White Mamba wasn't started until I went to Chicago, and Stacey King sort of really made it to what it is. I was the White Mamba in my inner circles, and then once Stacey King found out, it really blew up. By then, people around their arenas wearing White Mamba shirts, so that court kind of blew up from there.
That's awesome. And who's going to win the East Finals in your opinion?
Man, I want Toronto. I want Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka to not be afraid to shoot.
Yeah.
But it seems like they are, and I got Milwaukee. I'm hoping six, but it's probably going to be five. Milwaukee was so dominant, and Giannis is not only really good, athletic, plays hard, competitive. He's also the greatest teammate I've ever seen. Usually I'm grown accustomed to MVPs, treating their teammates like you know what. Giannis is not like that. So it's truly remarkable to watch him up close and personal. But if I, you know, like, listen, if Portland and Milwaukee, they go to the NBA Finals, you guys will get a firsthand look of how great this guy is individually. And you'll understand, like, I wish every kid can grow up like this guy. Hard playing, competitive, but also good to their teammates.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian Scalabrine, radio, Scalabrine, I should say, radio.com insider, Sirius XM radio host for the NBA channel, does stuff with the Celtics as well. Brian, thanks so much for hopping back on with us. We appreciate it, and we'd love to get you back on down the road, man.
Anytime, guys, anytime. See ya.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.